Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here today. My name is Alex, and I am one of the ministers here at Andover Community Church, and I am really excited that I get to start this brand new series with you all that's called Included. And like Chris said, we don't want to give too much away about this topic, because I think together we're going to go on a really exciting and hopefully very challenging journey over the next 4 weeks or so. But to start today, I want us to come back to that question that Chris asked, that we saw in that video. The question is this: have you ever felt excluded? Have you ever felt excluded? Maybe you have been excluded from something, or maybe by someone. And if you have, it's not a nice experience, is it? Perhaps it has been on the basis of something that you have done. Maybe it's an opinion that you have or you've expressed. Maybe it's an interest that you have. Or it could be something that you have no control over, something like your age, your race, your gender, your class, your cultural or religious background, amongst other things. Now, as I was reflecting on this question, I realised I've had, and I do have, a very privileged life, and that I've not experienced all that much exclusion. I know that is not the case for everyone. But as I was thinking about this, one clear experience came to mind for me. It's something that happened on the playground when I was a young child. Every day in the playground, we'd go out during break times or lunchtime, and I would meet with the same group of friends, and we'd play whatever game we wanted to that day. But on this one occasion, for whatever reason, this group decided that I wasn't going to be their friend that day, so I couldn't join in and play with them. And I remember, as you might imagine, feeling really upset by this. I didn't really understand. I felt rejected and I'd been excluded, and I didn't know the reason why. I can't remember how long this exclusion lasted. It probably just a day. I was probably back in with the group on the next following day on the playground. But what's even more amazing, I think, about this story is that on another day when the group of friends decided that someone else wasn't going to be our friend that day and couldn't join in, I was the one who went to tell them. And I said the same hurtful words that had been said to me, that they weren't our friend that day and that they couldn't join in and play. Ouch. How mean is that? I know, kids, we can be mean sometimes, can't we? And clearly this is a story about kids in the playground. And you would expect and hope that as we grow up into mature adults, that we wouldn't behave this way, right? Well, I'm not so sure. You only have to look back through recent history or even events that are going on in the world right now to see that some of the biggest and most devastating conflicts result from some very dubious lines that people have drawn. Lines that divide, lines that exclude others, that dehumanize others, lines that make for a very hostile world where relationships are deeply broken. And I think, actually, there's clearly something in human nature, isn't it? We want to draw lines. We want to make distinctions. We have that sort of tribal instinct, really, at heart. We want those categories that tell us who's in and who we can trust and who is out and who we can't trust and we're not safe with. We sometimes like that us and them mentality, don't we? But again, if we look through history, we know that that can be really dangerous. But what about us? As we go through lives ourselves, navigating through life, we probably find that we draw lines too, don't we? But they aren't all very helpful. And it's important to say here that actually there are some lines in life that we do really need. There are healthy boundaries that are essential for human life and society to flourish. Lines and boundaries when it comes to things like protecting people's human rights. Boundaries when it comes to issues of safeguarding. And when it comes to things like having moral and ethical standards in society. We need clear lines there, don't we? And for good reasons. And here at Andover Community Church, we are passionate about that. We believe that's God's heart too, to keep people safe and have healthy relationships. And that's not what this series is going to be looking at. I just want to make that really clear. Because when lines are drawn that aren't necessary, maybe lines that are based on personal preference or prejudice, actually they become barriers that exclude others. And this makes for a world where there is hostility and not peace. So what can we do about this? Well, that's what this series is going to be all about. And we're going to look at an approach that is radically different. an approach that is embodied in the life of Jesus, who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, whose life we get to read about in amazing accounts that have been preserved and are in the New Testament part of the Bible. Now, Jesus himself was born into a culture and into a society where there were many, many lines that divided and excluded people. Actually, the world he was born into was an incredibly hostile place. But despite all of this, Jesus came to this world because he had an important message. He had a message about love, about forgiveness, and above all, about unity. But bringing this kind of message into a hostile world, it wasn't easy. Because to do this, Jesus had to break down many barriers that existed that separated and divided people, barriers that actually people didn't want to be removed. And we're going to look today at one incredible event that happened in the life of Jesus. It's an encounter, actually, that he has with one individual, a very unlikely individual, a person that Jesus shouldn't have been seen even mixing with or being associated with. But it's someone who Jesus went out of his way to find to bring his message of unity, of love and forgiveness to them, to this one person, this one individual. And today, instead of reading this, we're going to watch a dramatization of it. It's taken from this amazing series that's called The Chosen. You might have heard of it. It's first of its kind. It's a multi-series production of Jesus' life, but the life of his followers. It's still being made. I think it's on series 4 at the moment. And the dialogue in this video clip does take words directly from the account we find written by a man called John in the New Testament part of the Bible. But there are also there's a bit of artistic license, there's a bit of imaginative retelling of the story. So if you want to follow it along and you have a Bible to hand or you can access it, just go to the New Testament, look up the book of John, chapter 4, and we're going to look at the first 42 verses of that. So we're going to watch this clip now. It's about 7 or so minutes, so let's settle in and let's see and experience this story together.
Would you give me a drink? Did you hear me?
That's bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come out new. In the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water, if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would. Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water. Hmm?
That's not what I said.
Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here that it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you. And it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things. Because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
Hey, wait!
Your water!
You forgot your
Foxy, your man, you told me everything I ever did!
That's an amazing story there. I think you'll agree from watching that. Hopefully you see why we thought it'd be good to show that dramatization there. It brings the the scripture, the passage that we read about to life in such an amazing way, isn't it? You know, Jesus, I love that Jesus has chosen there to go into the exclusion zone, taking a huge risk, and they made that quite clear. You know, there's all these lines and barriers that separate him from that woman. Firstly, you know, they're of rival sort of groupings. He's Jewish, he's a Samaritan, they have a history of conflict and rivalry. It was actually dangerous for Jesus to go there with his disciples. They could have been attacked or even killed. She's a woman, he's a man, and he's considered a religious sort of teacher, rabbi, and they weren't allowed to mix with women in public, sometimes not even their own family. So Jesus has crossed all of these lines, hasn't he? Lines drawn by culture, society, gender, religion, race, geography even. He's dismantled all of those barriers just to meet with that one person, that Samaritan woman. You know, and he does this for a reason, doesn't he? He does this to offer her something, to extend an invitation to her. And the offer is incredible. It's this new life. The living water that he speaks of, there's an amazing sort of analogy there as they're at the well. She's drawing water. And the invitation that Jesus offers her is to the kingdom of God. It's not an earthly kingdom where water gets stagnant, where things decay and die, but an eternal kingdom where there is this living water, eternal life. And you know, even though Jesus has broken down so many barriers to meet with this one woman, we find, don't we, that the woman has drawn her own barriers. She's got her own defenses up, her own excuses. Probably for good reasons, who knows. But Jesus gently invites her to step out, to be vulnerable. But he does it gently, doesn't he? He does it through conversation, through connection with this woman. And I think the most important part of this story is that we get to this other line. Although Jesus has torn down, rubbed out so many lines, we get to this really significant line for this woman, which is a moral line, actually. It's something that results in her being personally excluded, being outcast from her own society and culture, and being judged most likely, particularly from the other women in her culture. You know, that's why the dialogue said that she wasn't at the well when the other women would have been there. She had to come out in the heat of the day by herself so she wouldn't have the ridicule and the shame. We know, don't we, that this moral line has to do with a pattern of destructive sort of pattern of relationships in her life. We're told that she's had five different husbands. We're not told that she's a widow or anything. So we can assume this would have been culturally and socially really unacceptable. This is why she is outcast. And Jesus, you notice, he does address this, doesn't he? He does bring it into the light, but he doesn't address it up front. It's not the first thing he talks about when he meets this woman. But it's interesting, isn't it? In that dramatization, I love the way the sort of imaginative retelling, she thinks that Jesus is actually trying to make fun of her, that he's trying to just sort of ostracize her even more. But that's not what Jesus does, is it? He does it in a loving way without condemnation. You know, Jesus doesn't call this woman out on her behavior, perhaps in the way that we might call people out in society today. But instead, he calls her in. He calls her actually to him. And he offers her something better. This new life, that living water, which actually is him. And if we want to take Jesus up on this offer, to have this clean, pure, living water that will be like a spring inside of us, then we have to get rid of any stale or stagnant water that we've been living off. But that comes through relationship, a relationship with Jesus, and a relationship with God, and relationship with others, actually. Jesus does call us to a transformed life, but the way he does it is really important. He doesn't do it from the other side of a line or from a distance of a barrier between him and someone else. He does it, actually, by inviting that person in. He doesn't call them out, he invites them in to be in a relationship with him and to have a connection with him. And it becomes from that individual believing that actually Jesus is who he says he is. Like we saw in that story, that Jesus really is the Son of God or the Messiah, God in human form, who came to earth so he could offer us this living water that truly will sustain us forever. And actually, Jesus' offer of this new life, this living water, remains open to this very day. And the invite, the invitation, is to everyone and anyone. I think that's the really profound point of that story. The invitation is to everyone and anyone, no matter their race, their religion, their gender, their moral or cultural background. Because the invitation is to God's kingdom, a place where there's no division, there's no prejudice, there's no ranking system like we have in the world today. A place where there is peace, a place where there's unity. And actually, Jesus came to earth to usher in this kingdom. He spoke about it a lot during his earthly life. And actually, that's why he broke down so many barriers. That's why he rubbed out those lines that separate people from each other, but also from God. And actually, the two are one and the same. And on the cross, where Jesus was to die, he took upon himself all that separates us from God, all the hostility, all the evil that comes from division, that comes from conflict and exclusion. He took it on himself and he buried it. He dealt with it once and for all, and he rose to life so that we could have that new life and be in a relationship with God in his kingdom forever. And on the cross, Jesus erased all of the lines, took down all the barriers, and effectively drew the biggest circle that includes all of humanity. A circle where all are invited, all are included. That's quite a radical idea if you think about it. And Jesus saw people without prejudice. He didn't place any conditions on this invitation. He let nothing stand in his way, as we saw in that story. No line, no barrier or division, not even death could stop him from extending this invitation. And this invitation is for every single person who's ever lived, who lives now, who ever will live. So what about us? If you're here today or you're watching online or joining in with us and you consider yourself as a follower of Jesus, well, how are we extending this invitation to others? Are we excluding people, perhaps based on things like race or religion or their political views or their gender or their morality even? Do we expect people to change their behavior before they get to know Jesus? Do we expect people to change their behavior before they can belong in a community like ours? Or are we living out the belief that only true transformation comes through knowing and being in a relationship with Jesus? Are we willing, like Jesus, to go into those exclusion zones, to seek out people so that invitation is extended to everyone and anyone? And perhaps if you are joining with us today and you're somebody exploring faith or you're not sure what to make about all of this, maybe you could consider this today, that if Jesus' circle extends to you, if you are included, if there really is a personal invitation for you to get to know the God of this universe through Jesus, then what's stopping you from accepting it? What barriers are in your way? What lines do you feel like you're on the other side of? And if that is you today, and perhaps you've ever felt excluded from exploring faith, maybe you've disqualified yourself, maybe you felt excluded from a church community, or excluded by Christians, or people who call themselves Christians, or religious people, then I'm so sorry that you have experienced that. Because that is not the example that Jesus set. And that is not the kind of community that we want to be in, we're trying to foster here at Andover Community Church. So the question for all of us to consider, and this question we're going to be reflecting on during this whole series, is this: where have we put up barriers to real relationships with Jesus and with others? Where have we put up barriers to real relationships with Jesus, with God, and with others? And what can we do to remove them? Let's pray together. Loving God, I just thank you for who you are. Thank you that you came to earth in the person of Jesus, your son, to show us who you are, to reveal your heart for compassion and love, forgiveness, your desire for us to be united with you. That through Jesus, we get this very relatable, very real image of who you are. Lord, if we felt distant from you, if we feel excluded from even exploring, help us to just step over those lines or remove those barriers and to encounter you afresh today. Maybe we've been in relationship with you for some time, but we have put up barriers without even realizing it. Maybe we haven't extended the invitation to others, and we're sorry. Heavenly Father, creator of this universe, we ask that you would just speak to us today. May our hearts and minds be open to whatever you want to reveal to each individual. Like we saw in that story, Jesus, you pursue each of us. You cross those lines, you break down those barriers just to meet with us. And you want to do that, I believe, today. And you want to meet each of us where we are in our lives right now. Speak truth, speak life and love into our hearts. Help us to receive that in your name. Amen.